The Inexplicable Existence of Everything by Maureen Marsh.
I am standing outside the crematorium. I'm dressed in a dark suit, which is tight and ill-fitting. I'm standing next to Mum, who's in a navy blue knee-length dress and has a large wreath of lilies in her arms awaiting the rest of the congregation. There's a smell of apple blossom in the air. The birds are singing their songs in manic fashion, and the early spring breeze wafts through the trees. The blossom is in full bloom and about to fall. Some things are more precious because they don't last long. My mum's words are echoing as a blossom falls at my feet. Some things are more precious because they don't last long. This was first spoken by Mum to me at six, as my uncontrollable sobbing at the stiff, deceased body of Hammy the hamster laying in the palm of my hand rendered me beyond despair. I recall her hugging me as we went to bury dear Hammy underneath the yellow rose bush, and I read a poem that I had written specially for the furry rodent love of my life. Hammy, you were very furry and you were yellow too. You liked fresh carrots and you had very small poo. I will always miss you. This early brush with the fragility of life and existence had changed me subtly and deeply, as though some innocence had been fractured, and yet it had not prepared me for the pain of loss of David. Best friend and true confidant. He was surely too young to be taken so casually and so finally. 23 and about to start his sea cadet training, and then God or the devil or just the mundane machinations of life took him away. An aneurysm, apparently, something hereditary. Whatever the cause, it seemed to have no useful purpose. Surely there should have been some heavenly announcement, some angelic choir informing us and the world of why someone so vital, so young and so completely brilliant should just be snatched away into nothingness. I gaze around at the stark and somewhat sterile environment of a municipal council crematoria and wish we were in a church. Somewhere old and sacred, somewhere which has weathered the storms of the ages, somewhere where tears and history has been shed and renewed. But we are here instead. It is a concrete structure with no religious indications anywhere. There's an office attached and inside a chapel equally soulless. I'm looking around at the neatly mowed lawns and well-attended flower beds, everything in its place and inoffensively planned, yet the pure modern and secular nature of the place feels inadequate to the depth of the occasion. The cars and limos start arriving. David's parents are first, and we go to hug them. His mum's eyes red and swollen, his dad solemn and stoic. His dad's suit is also ill-fitting, and his hair is escaping its brill-creamed order by the breeze lifting up into a spiky mohawk. His sister arrives with her husband. I once had a crush on Louise. We hug. "Thanks for coming, Oscar," she whispers, her dark hair in a tight bun and her mascara smudged. She smells of lavender and fresh bread, and I still feel that little part of me that had a crush emerge like a shy deer coming out of the woodlands to gaze briefly around. We walk into the chapel as In the Arms of an Angel is playing. The celebrant is standing by the lectern, smiling benignly at us as we enter the clean and modern chapel. Large windows allow the light to illuminate the space, and I gaze out again to the neatly manicured lawns and gardens. Closing my eyes, I wish once more that we were in an old church, incense burning, pervading the air, and icons of Christ in his suffering, reminding us that we do not suffer alone. I open my eyes to the modern, controlled and managed space. The celebrant begins her welcome, but my mind wanders away to memories of David, hearing his voice behind me that first day at school, Hey man, I like your hair, you look like Eminem. I had, as I recall, a short peroxide buzz cut that was indeed a nod to my hero at the time, and David had spotted that. Spotted me, saw me. There is nothing so exhilarating as being seen. So that was it. We became a mighty unit, a force to be reckoned with. David usually the instigator and me the grateful follower. I watched in awe and pride as David would hold court in class, on the football field and with the girls. With my eyes tight shut, I hear his loud and confident voice. I open my eyes and I'm back in the adequate and well-organised space again, with its comfy, spongy purple seats and clean, newly white painted walls. I smell my own sweat and nothing else. Mum squeezes my arm and whispers, "You're doing so well, son." I'm bemused by this as I'm curiously numb. I feel bereft of emotion. A universe of emptiness envelops me. Louise is getting up to read her tribute to David. Her voice is shaken and brimmed with emotion as she recalls moments in her brother's short life. The time he attempted to break dance and broke his nose, or when he gave her first boyfriend an interrogation worthy of the Gestapo, or his funny impressions of the teachers at school. There was laughter at these stories as they were relayed, but I still sit unmoved and dry-eyed, as though disconnected from my body, the blandness of the chapel throwing me. Then the music for reflection is played. Eminem, Lose Yourself. One opportunity to seize everything you wanted. You better lose yourself in the moment. The music, you only got one shot. And I'm there with David, alive, young, and dancing to this track with a sense of infinity that belongs to the young. And that's when the tears come. The sobbing arrives. I have Hammy the hamster in my hand. The blossom has fallen at my feet. And David is gone. Some things are more precious because they don't last long. This mantra is carried deep inside me, and I'm changed by that which left me too soon. I've imbibed David's spirit, and he has become a part of me, and I'm struck by the inexplicable existence of everything and the preciousness of life itself.